Successful Minds with Patricia Barnowski Schneider, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their stories and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. Successful Minds with Patricia Barnowski Schneider is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Patricia Barnowski Schneider.
Hello and welcome back to Successful Minds. I'm your host, Patty Baranowski Schneider. And today I'm joined by Stacey Hall, sales success strategist and creator of the Alignment Marketing Formula. So welcome, Stacey. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, it's very great to be here in the studio with you. And Patty, best thing for people to know about me is that I'm on a mission to elevate the sales industry. Yes. And to have it be that people like salespeople as opposed to avoid them.
Right. Yeah, that is true. Everybody's like, oh, another sales call. So that's good that you're going to try to keep peace. So what does alignment have to do with making sense?
Well, when we think about the fact that most sales trainers for over 100 years have said that the key to success in selling is to get out of your comfort zone. That's where it all began for me. I watched my dad through all my life. He was in sales, but he was in sales because he loved people. He was good at making friends. He was often told he had to get out of his comfort zone and be more aggressive, more assertive. And then when I went into my career, which was public relations to start with, because I love to write, and I love to spend company money doing good things, I wound up needing to add credits in order to get my degree. So I went through all my PR credits right away. And then I had 2.5 years before I could graduate because I needed the right number of credits. So I went into marketing, advertising, radio, and television production. You'll notice none of that was about selling. It was all about helping people sell. And I think that was on a subconscious part of me, was helping people like my dad. And I was very successful at it in corporations, major corporations. But I started to feel the pull when I was teaching as a volunteer at the Small Business Development Center. And I saw that what was being taught to entrepreneurs would have put them out of business. You know, there's an old statistic that 80% of all new businesses will fail in the first 5 years, and that another 80% will fail in the second 5 years. And that statistic had stayed the same for just about the same amount of time that sales experts have been teaching to get out of your comfort zone. So I started about 27 years ago teaching entrepreneurs basics that would keep them in business so that they could scale up. And then that evolved into me becoming a salesperson of my services. And that evolved into saying, oh no, there's nothing that will get me out of alignment with who I am, what my values are, what my purpose is, what my mission is, what my strengths are. So no, I'm not going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to stand in my comfort zone. I'm going to expand my light like a lighthouse does. It stands, but its light gets bigger and bigger, right, as needed. And that's going to be my metaphor. And that's what I'm going to teach other people that they can do as well. So that's what alignment has to do with selling.
Nice. And you're speaking from experience. It's not something you read out of a textbook, which has a lot more validity to it.
No, I've written books about it. And yes, this is my own mission, my own purpose. If you could say anything, I really have prayed about it through the years. I've received divine inspirations that I know were not any place else. They were the first place that I read them, and other people have told me they've never seen it anywhere else. So I know I'm on the right path for me to be able to help change, Patty, the reputation. So there was a recent study done on reputation of sales, of job positions, career positions. Nurses have the number one spot in terms of reputation. People trust nurses more than any other profession. Mm-hmm. And telemarketers have the very last spot.
I'm sure.
So for all the jokes about lawyers, telemarketers are seen as the absolute worst people to trust. And telemarketers are salespeople. So they're really saying that about all salespeople. And that's why we have to do something about it from the inside.
Well said. Now tell us, why is belief such an essential element in the sales process?
Well, if, as you heard me share, I believed in myself, I believed in what I stood for, what I do stand for. I believed that I have a way of being able to be of service to others. If we don't have that belief, if we're stepping outside of who we are, then we can't have the belief. There's nothing to stand on. We have to rely on other people to tell us what to do. And if they're not around to tell us what to do, then what happens is we don't do anything because we're afraid of doing the wrong thing, right? And that's why most people are consider themselves procrastinators or perfectionists because they're not moving forward. And that gives them an excuse, but they don't need an excuse. All they have to look at is, have you been trying to follow someone else's way? And it's not your way, so you have nothing to draw from. That's why you don't have belief in yourself.
Good analogy. Because people don't recognize this themselves. Now, what are the consistent actions that must be done to make more sales, like have more satisfaction and achieve more success?
Okay. Well, this is before there's activity that other people can see. We have to be in action with ourselves. And that's what I call the four steps of alignment. So, most of my clients, when they've first come to me, they're out of alignment. And how do we know? Is they're not being consistent. They have a lack of consistency. They have a lack of confidence in selling. They have a lack of sales because of so many reasons. They have a lack of support around them. And so I'm identifying where they're lacking so that I can help them get back in alignment. The first action is, as I've shared previously, you must know what your core values are. Because we can't have belief in something we're selling if it doesn't line up with our values. And we have to know our priorities. So it's making a list of the priorities. And priorities can change day by day, but they usually don't. Most people know that their life has a, we're in a period of our lives, right? So maybe there's a period of raising children, and then there's a period of being an empty nester. And then maybe there's a period of taking care of an elderly parent. There's different periods of our life, and during those different periods, we have different priorities, and our business either moves up or moves down in those priorities. So, knowing that and knowing what role our business plays in our priorities and vice versa, very important. And then we have to make sure we're in alignment with what we're actually selling. Why are we selling it? Whether it's our own or somebody else's, why is it important that people know about what we're selling? And then we have to learn how to get in alignment with an audience. And it's one of the simplest things to do, and it's one of the hardest for most people. Because if you're not connected to yourself, if you've stepped outside of yourself, Patty, you can't be in alignment with an audience. You're only in alignment with the person who's telling you to get out of yourself. And the way we get in alignment with ourselves is we look at ourselves in the mirror. And I look at myself and I say, okay, I'm a woman over 50. I'm in business. I share my home with poodles. I have a strong marriage. I love personal growth. I love British mystery movies. Okay. I love to walk. I walk about 4 miles a day. So these are all areas of me. And oh, and I love social media marketing. Now, I can go out because that's the beauty of social media. I can go find people in those different groups, women entrepreneurs, women over 50, women who love British TV shows, okay? Mysteries. People who own share their home with poodles. I don't like to say own, share their home with poodles, okay? I can start making friends with people in those groups around our common interest. I can start alignment long before I start pitching my products. And then the last piece of alignment is, how am I going to show up as an expert in what I know? Because that's where my pages, if you will, on social media give people an opportunity to know me, not what the products I sell, but what have I learned in my life? What can I help teach other people? And oh, by the way, my products can help too. So that's how we develop belief, and that's how we stay consistent doing those activities every day.
And it's true about being real, like even posting like social media, same with myself. I'm on the agency side, so I'll post stuff for clients. But then you just post stuff about yourself too, because I'm a real person too. I'm not just, the face behind this stuff. And, people want to relate to you and know that, we're kind of thinking the same, because I could be somebody totally, totally different. So what I'm selling might not be applicable to you. So yeah, being real looks good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, can you share a personal experience or story where you witnessed the transformative power of alignment in the sales process, and how it impacted the outcome?
I sure can. I have lots of them, and I'll tell you one in particular. There's more in my book, Selling from Your Comfort Zone, but this one isn't in the book. This happened since the publishing of it. So I have a client who had through, I'm going to be careful because I don't want to give too much away about her personally without her permission, but I know I can share the other parts. She was in a career and very, very well trained in that career and got a lot of satisfaction from that career. Then she became ill and she couldn't participate in that career anymore. And it played a number on her mind and on her self belief and her self-confidence. And this illness continues to play a partner role in her life. So she can't, still can't get back to that. And so she was helping other people. She has this desire to be of help. So wherever she can, she helps. And she, that's how we started to know each other, because she offered her services to help me in my business. But as I got to know her, I supported her in getting back into alignment with her expertise. And while she wasn't able to do things hands-on anymore, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with her hands. There's nothing wrong with her voice. And I helped her be able to get back in alignment with a very specific audience. So instead of being one of them as she was before, she now becomes a trainer for them because of her expertise. And she is loving it. She's being able to be of service. She's able to give back all the knowledge that she gained by being a master at her craft in her career. And that's her comfort zone. So she's able to do this from social media. She doesn't have to go out anywhere anymore. She's able to bring in money. She's able to be seen as a lighthouse in her industry. And it's that's just one of many. But she let other people tell her that doing her career was too far out of her comfort zone, that she would never be able to do it again. It just required getting back inside and saying, okay, how can you expand from what you knew without hurting yourself?
Very nice. That's actually an inspirational story.
It's, well, there's, like I said, I have many, many of them. Once we say, I'm tired of trying to be who other people want me to be, we find great su success and satisfaction. And it doesn't mean we're lazy, Patty. Our comfort zone is our place of power. It is not our place of laziness. Lazy is lazy. Comfort zone is a place of power that can keep being expanded.
Now, speaking of comfort zone, in your book, Selling from Your Comfort Zone, emphasize the importance of aligning marketing and sales efforts. So, can you elaborate on how this alignment can be achieved and what its benefits are?
Yes, so I'm going to tag on to what I shared earlier of once you know how to establish yourself as an expert, and once you know how to make friends, like we do outside of social media, okay? It's not necessary to cold call any longer. Like there was a time when all we had was the telephone book. Some of our viewers here wouldn't even remember those times, but unfortunately, I still can. Okay. We have social media. So it doesn't matter what industry you're in. If you're aware of who you are, then you can go find people who are like you, who are could be prospects. And you would know that by searching social media through certain kinds of hashtags. So easy. You get to know these folks by what they say about them. You spend time acknowledging what they put out into the world. You don't do what I get all day long, which I'm sure you do too, Patty, which I'm sure everybody gets is, oh, I saw your profile here and I'd really like to get to know you better. And before we do, let me tell you all about my business. That's not what we do. That is not selling from your comfort zone. And yes, some people might say to me, I love to do that. Well, then you're the exception to the rule, and that is your comfort zone. You have no problem being pushy, assertive, and spammy. And thank you for giving the rest of the industry that reputation. And if that's how you act, if you go to a party and the first time you meet somebody, you immediately start. And I'm not talking about a business networking event. I'm talking about if you go to a party and you start promoting your business to somebody like that, even if they say, what do? And you dump all of that on them, I don't think that conversation's going to last very long, except for one in a million person who might say, oh my God, I need that. Most people will look at you politely with glazed eyes and go, I just saw somebody I need to say something to. Bye.
And even just like you said, meeting people like in your space, but not just because I get this all the time, like on certain social media platforms where they don't even research what they see my name or my title and they're pitching me what I do for a living. And I'm like, did you even read what it is I did? Put in the
Then
work.
that's what I'm saying. It's they don't spell names correctly. It's right there. I understand autocorrect can change. Then take a moment and take a look to see if it changed it or not. Like somebody's name, if you can't get my name right, how am I going to trust you to deliver something accurately? Right? No, you're in such a rush to make the pitch. I use the lighthouse as the metaphor for being who we're meant to be. Pitches being what they are, sort of like, sending a fastball from the mound before the pitcher is ready to hit. So we get hit, right? Those of us who are like, we're just sitting there, we're just, okay, fine, I'm in business. I'm coming up to bat, fine. Why don't you wait till I'm ready to receive the ball rather than hitting me in the head with it and me not wanting to play with you ever again?
For sure. That's how this belief can be influenced by mindset. So what strategies or techniques do you recommend for sales professionals to maintain a positive and confident mindset throughout their sales journey?
Okay, well, one of the biggest, I'm going to say deterrence to positive mindset that I've seen is the comparison to others. And especially on sales teams, there's always the rah-rah for the people who are making the most sales. And there's very little rah-rah for the people who are just in there day in, day out, doing their best, building long-term relationships. So that from the very beginning said to me, I cannot compare myself to others. I have my way of wanting to build relationship. They have their way. Maybe their way works for them because it's authentic, but it wouldn't be authentic for me. So first and foremost, we have to make sure that we're only comparing ourselves to ourselves and not to anyone else. Okay. What I did yesterday is what I did yesterday. Can I do better today? Can I do it more efficiently, more productively is the word I'm looking for. It doesn't matter that someone else is getting more attention than I am. They have probably gotten very clear who their audience is, and they're in their zone. So it's really important for me to figure out, am I in my zone rather than trying to get into their zone? So that's first and foremost. The second is looking for outside validation will always produce disappointment. Even if we find it, even if a sales manager or a friend or a client goes, yeah, you did great today, they're probably not going to do it every single day. And here's what neuroscientists are finding out, and lots of studies know about this. They're finding that our own self-validation actually means more to us than any outside recognition. Our brains actually light up stronger and differently in a more positive, supportive way to us when we acknowledge our own activities. And too many people wait until they've achieved that huge goal, as opposed to, hey, Stacy, you took your supplements today. Good on you, right? Hey, Stacy, okay, you didn't want to do that thing on the website, but you figured out how to do it. Good on you. This is what we're meant to be doing. So those two practices, how to only compare myself to myself and not put myself down. Just, I did that. Now, how am I going to do more or differently or more in a more satisfying way? And the other is to acknowledge everything I do, self-validate.
Very nice. It sounds building and maintaining consistency in sales actions that can be challenging. So, can you provide some practical tips for staying consistent and motivated in the long term?
Well, the two that I just shared, 100%, okay, making sure that we are choosing to continue to grow day by day and validating every step we take along the way will actually keep us more consistent. And then knowing who our audience is and knowing what we stand for, it's the I don't knows. That's what keeps people from being consistent. When they choose to say to themselves, they don't know. There's a very easy answer to I don't know. It's who does know that I could learn from, right? So what if we go through the four steps of alignment, we say, okay, I'm in alignment. I just don't know how to do this. Well, the beauty is go to YouTube, go to Google. Somebody knows how to do it, okay? And reach out. I call it asking for gardening tips. That if we think of our goals as flowers and we've never planted a particular type of flower or vegetable in that garden or bush or tree, well, we would go to the nursery, right? The plant nursery and ask for advice. Or we get online. And we'd ask for advice. And we would never think there was something wrong with us that we have to ask for advice because we're doing our best to keep this plant alive. Well, it's the same with business. And I've never understood why people won't ask for help and they think it means something about them if they have to ask for it. So that's how we stay consistent. We stay out of the I don't knows and we learn what to do in order to stay consistent.
And it's funny, someone just asked me recently about like mentorship, like did I have mentors throughout my career? And I said, honestly, back in the day, it wasn't a thing. Everybody was in so much competition that there were no mentors willing to give out advice or guidance because they're afraid you'd take over their job. It's just, I said, that's why I now have mentors and I try to mentor anybody who asks me for opinion because I didn't have that luxury, you know, and I think it's something important. And people, there are people out there willing to help guide you because it's fulfilling. And it's like they want to leave that legacy of I helped this person, look what they became. But there are, you know, and I'm always that ask 50,000 questions because I hate not knowing. I'm always like, why? But it's how you learn, how you grow, and you do feel better once you know, you know?
That's absolutely. I thank you for sharing that with us because I'm going to say I too have always known for questions since I was a teenager. And I'm grateful that I did have people who were willing to teach me all the way along the way. So I'm not saying everybody wanted to teach, but I have had. And I too always have an internship going in my business, always have for that reason, so that I can help mentor. Just in addition, that an internship is free or pay where I'm paying versus where someone's paying me for my mentorship. Yeah.
True. That's how the salespeople often encounter rejection and setbacks. So how do you advise individuals to handle rejection and maintain resilience in the face of challenges?
Well, my process actually teaches people to expect yeses. Now, that might sound like high in the sky magical thinking. I'm going to break it down and explain what I mean by yeses because there's many more yeses than just a sale. And most human beings will say yes if we present them with a series of safe things to say yes to, safe steps, versus, like we said previously, when the pitch comes fast and loose and we're just like, this is dangerous. So, knowing your what I would call the customer journey. If I'm an expert, which I for me, I'm an expert in sales success and satisfaction. Well, yes, I have private coaching, I have group coaching, I have a master class. They're all a little bit pricey, a little bit less as you come to, more less of me, it gets lesser. But then I offer lots of free ways for people to get to know me. So if I'm offering a tip on, let's say, self-confidence or self-validation, I've got a lot more tips on that. So when I'm offering my content on that idea, that topic, I can say, if you would like more tips like this, let me know. Happy to share them with you for free. Well, when somebody says, yes, I want those, there's a yes. They've already said yes to me once. Now I can start the conversation of why is this of interest to you? Where else are you having difficulty? Would you like to get on a free 15-minute call with me to where I can give you a few more tips? And then I get the call. We chat, I give a few more tips. I say, would you like to know what else I can do if we work together? The likelihood of the person saying yes to me at that point is very high, and it is. The only thing that would keep them from it is their fear of what it's going to cost. And that's when they say to me, well, I'm not sure I can afford it, or I don't think I can afford it. I'll say, isn't that interesting? You're saying no before you even know what I have and what it costs. So it gives me the opportunity to say to show them that they're shutting down possibility right from the beginning. I didn't say I was going to sell you. I said, would you like to know what else I could do for you if it worked? And then we talk. And oftentimes, the conversation does turn into, without me pushing it, that they do want to work with me, that I'm actually more affordable than they thought, or I have payment plans that they didn't realize I had. And then there's others who they're just not apt, they want it, but they've got their own. And of course, I'm talking about poaching here. I'm going to talk about other kinds of products in a moment, Patty. But in coaching, the person has to be coachable. And that has nothing to do with me. And I can't talk them into that, nor do I want to. Sometimes people are okay getting a little bit of information, but too much would push them out of their comfort zone. So you have to let people be where they are, right? And that's fine. And all it did was cost me 15 minutes, and I get to have been a support to somebody who wanted the support. Now, whether they're going to do anything with it or not is up to them. Now, if we're, let's say we're selling copier machines, right? Big ticket situation. Well, same thing. We have to have some way for people to say yes to us in smaller ways. Like maybe we create a newsletter, right? Not necessarily about copiers, but about business trends. Maybe we get very clear what industry needs our copiers. So we could be in the healthcare, maybe hospitals, they need copiers, right? Or lawyers need copiers, or publishers need copiers. Getting very, very clear what industry we want to stay focused on, we could start hosting industry supportive events for online. Okay, trends in publishing, trends in healthcare, trends in legal, whatever areas, right? And we become the person that's known as the expert for the industry. And oh, by the way, I happen to work for this company that sells copiers. So when it's time for a copier to be purchased, who's going to be top of mind? The person who comes in and says, "Hey, I got any needs for copiers right now?" Or the person who has been really understanding the industry and bringing together the decision makers in that industry to network with each other, to talk about these topics. So you're nodding, you see what I'm talking about.
I used to do the same, host webinars and things like that, and just bring it, had nothing to do with me, but I was bringing in industry experts and just showing you that I know this space. And I was hosting conferences every year. Again, didn't cost, didn't do, I wasn't speaking, but bringing in people, putting you as an expert in that space because I know this space. I know who you want to see. I know what you want to talk about. And again, when people say, okay, we need somebody in that space, they're going to think of me because they know that I've been active in this. I know what I'm doing, and I'm just not just here to sell you something. So everybody wants the quick fix, but nobody wants to put in the work. That seems to be a big problem, but it's a
And
process.
I'm going to give a shout out to the sales professionals who would love to be able to do that, but their sales managers are pushing them to go faster. This is what I'm talking about, the old-fashioned way of sales training, sales incentivizing is just not going to work any longer.
The world's changing. And tell us, you mentioned helping entrepreneurs attract more sales, satisfaction, and success. So can you share some specific strategies or practices that have consistently yielded positive results for your clients?
Well, at the risk of being redundant, that's what we were just talking about. Exactly that, being the expert in a group of people. So let's say the entrepreneurs in network marketing. Here's a little known secret. The people who are most successful in network marketing are leaders in other network marketing companies. And usually they are looking for other products and services to be able to share with their teams to keep them even more loyal. Very rarely are you ever going to build a team with just customers. Customers come and go. Business builders. Now, I'm not saying to steal from other people in your own company at all. I'm not saying to steal from other people. I'm saying, what if you choose to be somebody who supports the entire network marketing industry? Bringing leaders together from other companies to learn from each other, that could be a novel concept. Okay. So musicians, maybe you're the one, musicians have to be in the same location to play together, although I see lots of wonderful collaborations on Zoom. But why not bring People, if you're or a golfer or a tennis person, this concept of serving the whole industry pays huge dividends because you become the person that everybody knows in the industry. So it automatically elevates you. Having a newsletter with information about the industry as opposed to just a pitch for product elevates you in the industry. And it is the simplest. Like you, not that what I'm saying is what you did. And I don't want to give the impression that what you did was not important when I say it's simple. That's the beauty of the best approaches, is they are simple. And you did it right there. You, even on this podcast, you're getting known as an expert by bringing other people's voices to the same audience.
Even with like what I do, marketing and IRP, are, and I've brought in other people in the same space, and I've had other people say, "What are you doing? They're competition." But I think the same thing. First of all, there's enough business out there for everyone, and we learn from one another. And everybody might have their own specific niche. But I just think it's great. I'm learning from you. You're learning from me. And maybe I offer a service you don't, and vice versa. It's, yeah, so I get it.
Yeah, or background. My background might appeal to somebody that they love you, but they're like, well, I heard something some that Stacy said, and I want to go explore that, or vice versa. My audience is going to see this too because I'm going to share it. And they might have fallen in love with you right now. As you said, there's more than enough than any of us can serve. And there's many, many lighthouses, thousands of lighthouses along shorelines, and they don't compete with each other. They do the same thing.
Not very nice. Now, with your extensive experience in social media marketing, how can sales professionals effectively leverage social media to enhance their sales efforts and build their online presence?
Okay, well, your audience is out there. Go learn about them. Go find that. Identify. If you're on Facebook, so easy to find groups of women entrepreneurs over a certain age, mompreneurs. Okay. If you're a guy, there's lots of men's business groups right there. You used to have to go physically into a geographic area and find these groups if you could. Like, that's how it used to be. Now the whole world is open to us. If you're on LinkedIn, go join groups of people. There's tons of groups with thousands and thousands of people all interested in doing business in a particular way. If you're on TikTok, use your hashtags. Instagram, use your hashtags. Pinterest, use your pin hashtags. Go find people who are doing the things you do, the interests you have, as well as the industry you're in or the industry you want to be in. That's how we're meant to use social media. Honestly, it's for warming up the relationship. It is not meant to be the place you do the pitch. You do that privately. And that's the distinction, always has been. Marketing is the advertising, selling is the relationship, the personal relationship. Companies have marketing departments that put out ads, and then they also have sales departments or customer relation departments for the personal relationship. And the two do not do the same thing at the same time. They just don't. So you might have sounded like I talked out of both sides of my mouth, so I want to clarify what I said. If you want to promote a product or a service on social media, buy ads. Do not put it on your personal page. That's what I'm talking about. On LinkedIn, you can, because it's all about business. People expect it. But in other social media, if you're on your personal page, they want to see what you stand for, what you stand on, That's thought leadership. Be a thought leader. Be an expert. Be a friend. Be a supporter. And then if you want to promote, you want to advertise, then use the advertising function on those social media sites.
And all of them, for the most part, you can have like Facebook, a personal page and a business page. LinkedIn, you can have a personal page. It's business, but you can have a
Yes.
group page. So people get to see you as a person. Because even with business, sometimes on my personal page, maybe I'm posting pictures of the grandkids and whatnot, and people from the business will try to connect with me personally. I'm kind of like, it's kind of a fine line. Do I really want you involved in my career? But then it depends on what the relationship is. Maybe I do want you to see who I am as a real person. I'm not some crazy psycho. I'm a normal person. And but there
Yeah.
that you can separate if you have to.
Well, I always say to separate. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to do product push, have advertising. On my page, on Facebook, I do thought leadership from my book. I will tell stories about how things used to be for me before I found this process. So I'm talking about alignment. And yes, you'll see my book there, but I'm not constantly hammering over my head, go buy my book, go buy my book. I'm giving you information from the book. I'm being a thought leader. On LinkedIn, I'm providing information primarily for sales managers and sales teams. I'm in those groups. And on my posting, again, thought leadership about alignment, about selling from your comfort zone, as opposed to go buy my book, go buy my book, go come join me in my masterclass. You can feel the difference. One is it's all about my stuff. And the other is here, if you've come to my personal page, let me inform you about the things that I love to talk about. And then, yes, you'll see my dogs periodically on Facebook, okay, and on Instagram. It's thought leadership as opposed to promotional pitches.
Good. So tell us, as a TEDx presenter, you've had the opportunity to share your insights with a diverse audience. So what key message or idea do you believe is the most important for professionals looking to excel in the world of sales and marketing?
Well, I can share what I share, which I think is my corner of the world of what's important. I believe that so many people have, you have a most important principle. The most important principle is staying in alignment in the four ways. Staying in alignment with yourself first, staying in alignment with what you sell, staying in alignment with your audience, and staying in alignment with what thought leadership you're going to put out to your audience. That's it. I mean, it's everything comes back. All lacks, anything that a business is lacking or a person is feels they're lacking is because they're out of alignment in some way with one of those four.
Nice. Anything else you want to talk about that you're working on that we didn't cover already?
That's, well, I appreciate the invitation. I will say that if anybody has questions about what I've talked about here, it probably sounds like I've been repeating myself a lot, and I hope it is. Repetition is important. Simple things that are simple keep coming back to themselves. It's just everything just finds its way back. So I do provide a 15-minute, no charge sales strategy session to find out where you might be out of alignment. I have a process to ask. And then to be able to give you some quick tips. And some folks might say, what can you possibly do in 15 minutes? Well, I'll tell you, I have had many a person tell me that after 15 minutes, they had another call with a prospect and they actually closed the call for the first time, like immediately. Or their closing rate has gone from 10 to 15% up to 90% because of the suggestions I made to them. So that's what I want folks to know, that they can contact me through my Calendly link, which I know you're going to share, and book a 15-minute call with me to find out, are you in alignment or are you out of alignment?
Nice. And 15 minutes, who can't spare that? Go on. And you work with people all around the world, right?
All around the world.
All right. Well, thank you again for being on the show. Again, that was Stacey Hall. Thanks again for listening to Successful Minds with Patty B. Never miss an episode by subscribing. So thank you again. Oh, thank you.
Well, Patty, thank you so much for inviting me in to share this time. As you can tell, it's my passion and my mission, and will be till I leave this earth. And I love how you're demonstrating and have been demonstrating for so long what it looks like to have true collaboration with people that you feel you're in alignment with. So it's been a joy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, likewise.
Thank you for listening to Successful Minds with your host, Patricia Barnowski-Schneider. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.